Welcome to PFW Chicago Football Podcast. Holy cow, that is not the way the Bears drew it up for their home opener. I'm your host, Kevin Fishbane. We will briefly recap the carnage of Monday night, but we have to talk about all the injuries because that leads us to, of course, the reason you're listening to the show, a preview of Sunday night's game against the Cowboys, joined, of course, by my producers. Got both of them in the house today, Dan Mott and John Sally. Go check out all of our Bears coverage at profootballweekly.com/Bears. Follow us on Twitter at Bears_insider. I am at K Fishbane. And go ahead and add us on Snapchat at Bears_insider. And before we get going, boys, quick shout out to Humphreys McGee. Always forget, but they did an awesome job with our intro song. So thank you to Humphreys McGee. On the show, we're going to hear from Clarence Hill, the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, later to talk about the Dallas Cowboys. We'll give you our picks, of course, for Sunday night. But boys, we got to start with Monday night. That was bad.
Do we have to?
We do, a little bit. You know, it's funny, with John Fox and Vic Fangio, there wasn't a lot of talent necessarily on this team last year, but they avoided the absolute blowout games that we saw in the final year of Mark Trestman, I think a large part because of the coaching. And it's not so much they were just blown, they had the doors blown off them on Monday night, but injuries and the way things spiraled in the third quarter, I mean, I said it was the worst quarter, worst half in the John Fox regime. And let's look at these injuries. All right, you guys, you can help me rank. Let's power rank the injuries, okay? So I'm going to power rank Jay Cutler, number one most important injury, because I guess he is the quarterback, and he sprained his throwing thumb, and he's out. It looks like 2 to 3 weeks, according to NFL Network. But with Jay Cutler, you kind of never – he's always been earlier than his timeline the past few years when he's had injuries. So that's number one. Number two, Eddie Goldman. High ankle sprain, Chicago Tribune reporting 4 weeks. He had looked so good those first two games. Drew a couple holds on Eagles center Jason Kelsey. Bears are probably fortunate it is just 4 weeks because he did not look good when he was carted off the field in the fourth quarter. Number three, Lamar Houston, torn ACL, out for the year. I think people are conveniently ignoring this one because the Bears have Leonard Floyd and Willie Young. They hope to get Pernell McPhee back. They have Sam Acho. But look, guys, Houston led the team in sacks last year. He's a veteran. He knows how to rush the passer and stop the run. And I tweeted this might be his final, who knows, maybe his final game in a Bears uniform. Owed almost $6 million next year and not a ton of dead cap. Danny Trevathan, I guess you could probably argue Trevathan maybe should be two or three. Thumb surgery. We don't know how long he'll be out, but John Fox says not season-ending. And then Bryce Callahan and Adrian Amos are in the concussion protocol. Did you guys get all that? Were you taking notes?
So I disagree a little bit with your power rankings. I would put Eddie Goldman number one on that list because I honestly don't see a ton of difference between Jay Cutler and Brian Hoyer at this point.
Hot take, I know, but Brian Hoyer,
I'm completely ignoring what he did in the playoffs last year.
Right.
But he still helped lead Houston to a playoff berth last year and got a good year out of DeAndre Hopkins, or DeAndre Hopkins got a good year out of Brian Hoyer, I guess is a better way to put that. So I don't see a whole ton of difference between Hoyer and Cutler at this point in their careers. I see a huge drop-off on the defensive line when you take out Eddie Goldman because he had been so good for a Bears defense that had been asked to do a lot through the first two games. And I would put Danny Trevathan second. Look,
let me back myself up here, John. Mm-hmm. You know me, I'm always honest with our loyal listeners. Mm-hmm. I typed these out and I forgot about Trevathan.
Okay, fair enough.
John Fox almost forgot about Trevathan, kind of threw in, oh, by the way, Dane Trevathan needs third surgery on his thumb.
By the way, the biggest free agent signing of the offseason is out for an extended period of time. Now you're putting in Jonathan Anderson, who was an undrafted guy from last year, correct?
Yep.
Who ended up in the top 10 in tackles for the Bears last season, who was not terrible, but the drop-off in talent level from Danny Trevathan to Jonathan Anderson is huge, and the guy who playing in front of them, Eddie Goldman, is now out. So that's right. Look, it's Jarrell Freeman's defense now, if it wasn't already. But that defense that was already asked to do a whole lot because of the ineptitude of the Bears offense now loses, I think, their two best players.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if Eddie Goldman was out for longer, I think he'd be a cinch number one for me. Here's my thing with Cutler and Hoyer. That throw that Cutler made to Jeffrey, Hoyer can't do that.
And also Cutler was forced to throw off his back foot, and it was kind of underthrown a little bit.
But my thing is right now, the best thing the offense has had going for it is Cutler launching it to Alshon Jeffrey. True. So the hope is that they maybe are able to do different things to the playbook now, cater it to Brian Hoyer, and maybe that opens some more things up for a Zach Miller or a Kevin White, or getting the ball to Jeremy Langford out of the backfield, more some screen passes, and they don't have to rely on that. But it is only, it looks like, maybe 2 weeks, two games. But the Eddie Goldman thing is huge. And you know, we're taping this Wednesday morning, so I'm not sure about Callahan and Amos. The young defensive backs have stepped up. But here's the thing, guys, we've talked about. Let's spin this forward. Dane Trevathan out. Should you put in Nick Kwiatkoski, your fourth-round pick, who's been inactive, and just instead of Jonathan Anderson? You know what you're getting from Jonathan Anderson. At safety, if Adrian Amos is out, do you skip ahead and go to Deion Bush or DeAndre Houston Carson instead of Chris Brzezinski, who, by the way, also has an injury? He injured his calf. It might be the time to start getting a couple more. You know, we might see more Jonathan Bullard with Eddie Goldman out. I mean, it's too early in the season than we expected to have to go to some of these younger guys, but that's where this team is at right now, where this is an opportunity for them to get some of these draft picks in the field.
And that's the question is, do you let some of these guys learn? Now, Leonard Floyd is going to be forced to learn because of the Houston injury. Do you let some of these guys learn, or do you put your best team out there trying to win football games? Now, it's only September. You're 0-2. John Fox is paid to win football games, so I don't think you're going to see this huge youth movement at this point. Some guys are going to get forced in. Like Leonard Floyd, like Jonathan Bullard, like you said, but I don't think you're going to see this gigantic rush of just play all the draft picks. Now, I think Kwiatkoski should be out there for at least a little bit, because I think you want to see at least a little bit of what he's got. But if the coaching staff has determined that he is not ready yet, then I don't see a reason to force it just yet, unless there's just nobody left that you have to go to that guy.
Yeah, it was just an absolute nightmare on Monday night to lose so many key players. And we talked about Goldman and Trevathan, and I just can't overstate losing those two, because, as you said, the front seven of the defense was the best part of the team. And we kind of predicted that. And actually, I should give some credit to Jacoby Glenn and DeAndre Hall. Those cornerbacks are making some plays. Like, I thought the Bears' defense, for the most part, played well. They had two bad drives, the defense, that they let. One led to a field goal, the opening one of the game. One led to a touchdown in the third quarter. But when you're on the field as much as they were in the second half, they're going to give up big plays. Carson Wentz, I thought, handled the pressure really well. I thought he made some fantastic throws, but he also made some pretty bad throws. And I thought the Bears did an okay job. They just didn't really get a whole lot from the offense. And as our friend of the program, Mark Trestman, liked to say, complementary football. You got to get the offense and defense working together, and this offense just isn't sustaining drives. And I imagine it's going to be a lot of run, 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 quick pass, screen pass, run, 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 when they're in Jerry World on Sunday night. Let's wrap up Monday night, because, I mean, as I said, we had to talk about the injuries because they're important going forward. But let's spin it forward. Let's turn the page now and talk about the Dallas Cowboys. And to do that, we're going to go, of course, behind enemy lines. Clarence Hill has covered the Dallas Cowboys since 1997, writes for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. You can follow him on Twitter, at Clarence Hill Jr. He joined me to talk a little bit about what the Bears are going to face Sunday night when they face the Dallas Cowboys. It's time to go behind enemy lines, learn a little bit more about the Dallas Cowboys. This week's Bears opponent with Clarence Hill of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. And Clarence, I think the story that a lot of Bears fans are going to be curious about learning about is Dak Prescott, because the Bears just lost to a rookie quarterback in Carson Wentz. What's impressed you most about Prescott so far?
Well, it's just his poise and demeanor. You know, just old cliche of his game, that this thing is not too big for him. And time again, you know, he's shown that, you know, he's ready for this opportunity. You know, from the first minute, He stepped in for Tony Romo in training camp. He stepped in the huddle with the likes of Jason Witten and Derek Bryant. He hasn't blinked. And every situation in preseason, you know, he's been calm, cool, and collected, and the same thing in the regular season. And even last Sunday, you know, he led them on a game-winning drive. Just watching Redskins, this kid is just calm, he's poised, and he's ready for the opportunity.
How have Cowboys fans kind of gravitated to Prescott? Because obviously Tony Romo's been an interesting guy there for as long as he's been there. You know, there have been some great memories of what he's been able to accomplish. But are Cowboys fans really jumping on the Dak bandwagon?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, Romo's always in a lightning rod for love and hate among the Cowboys fans for a variety of reasons. You know, his because of what he did in the playoffs and whatever else. But yeah, people are on the Prescott bandwagon for sure. A lot of people like him now and like him for the future. Certainly, you know, when Romo's healthy, it's going to be a team that he's going to get the job back. But, the Cowboys are loving Dak Prescott. You know, it was a vacuum. You know, the Cowboys really didn't have an answer for life after Romo. Now they have an answer for life after Romo, and everybody's feeling it.
And I'm sure with what's going on in Chicago with Jay Cutler, I think a lot of Bears fans are kind of jealous about, you know, just having that rookie quarterback there. And the other rookie, of course, that's going to get a lot of attention is Ezekiel Elliott. And I think a lot of people loved that pick when you think about what he can do behind that offensive line. The yards per carry is not great right now, but what have you seen from Ezekiel Elliott in through the first two games?
Well, you know, he's gotten better. You know, he struggled his first game, suddenly got better the second game. He's showing more patience, and you know, he missed a lot of time in camp and preseason because of a hamstring injury. And so, you know, he needs to develop some cohesion with the offensive line and where the holes are and all that stuff. He has all the physical tools, the size, strength, the steadiness, the quickness, the speed to take it the distance. You know, he's ever been the Cowboys starting was from an athletic standpoint. You know, just a matter of getting things together with that offensive line and showing more patience than he showed. And he proved he didn't want to get people. And one thing that popped up again, too, was two fumbles. You know, he has to take care of the ball. He wasn't a fumbler at college, but the two fumbles against the Redskins, people are going to start going after the ball and challenging him, and they can prove that he can hang on to the ball.
When you look at this offense, I think certainly NFL fans, everyone knows what Dez Bryant can do, and folks have watched Jason Witten for a long time. Who else on that offense from a weapon standpoint is someone that maybe can be, I don't know, maybe an X factor for the Cowboys on Sunday night?
Well, I mean, Cole Beasley has been that guy for 2 weeks of the season. He's a nickel receiver. He's been a version of Danny Amendola, Wes Walker, and because of the kitchen given to Dez Bryant, he's had open lanes, open areas to run and catch balls underneath in the middle of the defense. He's been a big part of the offense for us, too. So, yeah, look for Cole Beasley to continue to get a lot of balls in the field. In addition to that, they're going to throw the ball to their guys out of the backfield as well. You know, they haven't shown ability to throw it to the backs much, but that's a big part of Ezekiel Elliott's game. And whether it's Morris or some other guy, they're going to try to get the ball to their backs out of the backfield.
Let's switch to the defense, Clarence, and talk about this front seven that's obviously without some key players because of suspensions. And, Sean Lee's been doing it and doing it at a high level as long as he's been healthy. But who are some of the other players in the front seven that have stepped up and think are the type of guys that can maybe take advantage of a Bears offense that's really been struggling through 2 weeks?
Well, Terrell McClain is stuck up at nose tackle. He's been the best defensive lineman for the first 2 weeks of the season. Every guy who they didn't even expect to start. You know, he signed 70 targets on the Eagles in hopes that he would take over the nose tackle spot. But he's starting to enter the last couple of years, but he's really stepped up. He's been their most active and most difference-making defensive lineman for the first 2 games. But, you know, Tyrone Crawford's a guy who had a sack against the Redskins who needs to come on and play a lot of defense at the end of the second half against Redskins. He makes more time at the end rather than tackle. He's a guy who's supposedly the best playmaker, the best pass rusher. They need to get him going. They hope that he can get going some more against the Bears.
Well, in the back end, it seems like Morris Claiborne has started to off this season off to a much better start than maybe other seasons in his career. What's been your assessment of his play so far?
Well, the biggest thing is he's been healthy. This was the first time he's gone to a full offseason, full training camp, without any limitations, no surgeries, no injuries. And been able to stay on the field, been able to be healthy. He's been able to play the best football of his career. Now, just 2 games, he hasn't stay healthy throughout the season. But he's been the guy that the Cowboys hoped he would be. Now, when they drafted him sixth overall in 2012, they claimed he was going to be the best. He's the highest rated cornerback coming out of draft since Deion Sanders. Well, he hasn't shown that type of playmaking ability thus far, but he hasn't been the bust he's been there for the last 4 years. He's made plays. He's been their best cornerback for the first two games.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of those corners, how do you see that matchup going against Alshon Jeffrey, Kevin White, and Eddie Royal? I know we don't know a lot right now about the Bears' quarterback situation, but here in Chicago, we're kind of assuming it's going to be Brian Hoyer, who doesn't have the arm strength of Cutler, but obviously those receivers, especially Jeffrey, can get open against these Cowboys' corners. What are kind of you looking for in that matchup between the Cowboys' secondary and the Bears' wide receivers?
Well, they have two big corners with, who will start with Morris and Carr, and they're probably going to just let them stay on their respective sides and give them some safety help with Jeffrey. They need to get safety help with Jeffrey because he's a, big playmaker. Certainly he can catch a jump ball down the field and they're going to need some help. But as far as other guys, they're going to play their record defense. You got Kendrick in the slot, probably will be on Royal and White and see how it goes from there. But yeah, they're going to shave some coverage.
Yeah, and that's what we've seen teams do to Jeffrey in the second half, at least, and that's really kind of shut him down in the first two games or forced the Bears to go elsewhere. I asked you about kind of the X factor on offense. I'll go with the same question for defense. I know you've mentioned a lot of the guys up front, but looking at those safeties, is there one of those guys that's kind of can be a playmaker and maybe turn the ball over for Dallas?
Well, the guy they want to be that guy is Byron Jones. He was the first round pick of a year ago, and he has athleticism to be that ball hawk, center fielder, Ed Reed type player who can cover tight ends and make plays in the middle field. That's a hope. He does a good job against tight ends in the middle field. He just needs to get his hands on the ball and make more plays. But he's a guy that they're looking to blossom and really take off this year.
Just a few more questions here with Clarence Sill, covers the Cowboys for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. And Clarence, as a beat writer myself, I always like to kind of get in the minds of other beat writers. I'm curious, as someone who's been on the beat for so long, what's it been like covering Jerry Jones?
Oh, Jerry is Jerry.
That's good to know. I'm going to slide that suggestion over to the Bears PR staff, and I'm sure they will gleefully ignore that. Just two more. Speaking of Jerry Jones and this entire organization, obviously with all the suspensions, it was a tough offseason. You get the Romo injury. You got questions about the draft. Jason Garrett's been there a while now and not a playoff team in a few years. What is the sense, even with Romo out, obviously there's excitement about Prescott, but what's the sense about this organization in terms of pressure on these guys? Obviously Jerry Jones has been loyal to Jason for a while, but is there a sense about, when the pressure's really going to heat up on trying to make changes and move forward?
The Cowboys think they can still compete and win in this division. Certainly that victory on the Redskins, but more than that, they're really going to help. Jerry Jones is very comfortable with Jason Garrett, head coach. And unless the wheels completely fall off, I don't see him moving away from Jason. They do have that. The Romo excuse of being out missing 6 to 8 games or however many he's going to miss with this injury, and they didn't really give him a lot to work with on defense. But it's going to take a complete disaster to move away from David. And the thing that helps them is that the division is mediocre. This is a 9-7, 10-6, 8-8 division, and they feel they get in that range, they can compete. As long as they are competing, they'll be satisfied.
Yeah, yeah, and that's certainly a division that they can do that. And all right, last question here with Clarence Hill. Again, Cowboys beat writer for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Follow him on Twitter at Clarence Hill Jr. for some Cowboys insight before Bears-Cowboys Sunday night. Clarence, how do you see kind of the intangibles factor in this game? I'm talking about home field advantage. Obviously, the Cowboys are feeling very confident. We know here in Chicago, the Bears probably don't have a whole lot of confidence with all the injuries and their 0-2 start, but how do you think that's going to factor in and maybe help Dallas on primetime?
I think the biggest thing that's going to help Dallas is all those injuries. I mean, with your Chicago, not only did you lose your quarterback, but you lose Lamar Houston. I mean, I watched the game Monday night, and it seemed like a mass unit out there, and everybody was going down, and you're losing players. And certainly, it has to be some lost confidence in that locker room. The Cowboys, our fans, are feeling good about themselves. You know, they got a rookie quarterback. They got that win. Now they're trying to build things and string some things together. And that home field, that home crowd is going to help. A couple of years ago when the Bears came down there and they took over the stadium, the Cowboys, remember that, they don't want the Bears there because there's a lot of Bears fans travel. I got a lot of friends are traveling to Chicago down here. A lot of people are going to be here. Lots of Bears fans are going to be in the house. And you know, I don't think it's going to be the blowout situation where it was a few years ago when it seemed like the stadium, AT&T Stadium, was filled with Chicago fans and all the Cowboys fans out there. This Cowboys team is feeling themselves. They're feeling good. They're ready to build up things with Chicago and San Francisco up next. They think they can build some things with Dak Prescott without Tony Romo and really make a push for the rest of the season.
All right, we know the Bears have had some success at Jerry World, and I got to quickly put you on the spot here, Clarence, since you know a lot of Bears fans will be down there. You got a good Dallas suggestion, Fort Worth suggestion for folks to go get some food while they're down there or sightseeing or whatnot?
Well, if you're going to get some barbecue, you got to come to Dallas. You got to get barbecue, and I would say that Lockhart Smokehouse in the Bishop Arsenis is one of the best barbecue spots. They also have another spot called Hard Eight Barbecue. But you got to come to Dallas. You got to get barbecue, and those are two of the spots that I like.
All right, you heard it from Clarence Hill, the man himself, and he knows a Cowboys beat writer since 1997. Clarence, really appreciate you taking the time.
All right, thank you.
Big thank you again to Clarence Hill. Gave us some good information about the Bears' opponent, the Dallas Cowboys. Also, I'm a little jealous of some of those Jerry Jones stories, especially anything that involves a media-friendly team, a hospitality suite. How about that for the media on the road? But you don't want to hear about that. What you do want to hear about is our sponsor. That's Loot Crate. Go to lootcrate.com/Shaw. Use that promo code Shaw, S-H-A-W. You're going to get $3 off your first crate. Now, the October crate is coming up in about a week or so. So when you get $3 off your first crate, you're going to be getting, of course, the October-themed crate, which is horror because it's Halloween month. So we're talking The Walking Dead, Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th. You're going to get some cool apparel, T-shirt, maybe a mug, some other things to put around the house in these loot crates, which, of course, is a monthly subscription box service for all you geek, gamer, and pop culture aficionados out there, which means we get the next kind of 4 weeks or so to talk Halloween and to talk scary movies, of course.
Hey, Kevin. Other than this year's Bears offense, what is your favorite scary movie?
Favorite scary movie, John, will be the 2014 Chicago Bears, starring Mark Trussman, Phil Emery, and Brandon Marshall.
Ooh, the original.
Yes, like it. Yes, that was good. No, you know, I've never been a scary movie guy. When I was younger, in junior high, we used to like some of like the Scream movies, or I Know What You Did Last Summer, because those were kind of unintentionally funny movies.
Yeah, kind of self-aware.
Yeah, if you pay close attention, like, and you know, but otherwise, I haven't been too much of a scary movie guy, but I always was a scary movie guy.
Ooh.
Because I enjoyed the movie Scary Movie 1, skipped 2 and 3, came back and enjoyed 4, which had the same writers as number 1.
I somehow stumbled upon Scary Movie 2 the other night, and it was actually a little bit better than I thought.
Oh, all right. Well, you know, that is a classic stumble upon movie, though, because you can kind of get sucked in. And you, what those movies do is they remind you of what was funny in pop culture in like 2002.
Yeah, there were a lot of Michael Jackson jokes, which is just odd.
Yeah. My favorite part of Scary Movie 4 was Leslie Nielsen like walks through a door and knocks over an alien and drops his "I want to wish you two good luck. We're all counting on you" line, okay, of course, from Airplane. So a lot of good airplane humor in that one. But that's not why you called, of course. It's time to get to Sunday night. Lucky you, the listener, and the rest of the nationally televised audience, You get the Bears on primetime television for the second week in a row. And what is the second time out of four primetime appearances in the first 8 weeks of the season? Bears-Cowboys, Sunday night, NBC. I will be there. I will be shooting off lots of Snapchats from the monstrosity that is AT&T Stadium in out there in Dallas, Jerry World. Be sure to add Bears underscore insider on Snapchat. You know, I think the Bears keep this one close, guys, because I don't think the Cowboys are very good. I think if the Bears get the run game going, quick passes to Royal and Jeffrey and White and Miller, they can, you know, if they can control time possession, they've done a horrible job of the first 2 weeks. I think it's a game they can keep close. We'll get to our picks at the end of the show, but I'm going to pick the Cowboys. But I think the Cowboys have the weapons on offense, great all-line, Ezekiel Elliott, Dez Bryant, Cole Beasley's played well, Jason Witten. I know Dak Prescott's taking care of the ball well, but, you know, we'll see if he can keep that up under the lights. And, look, Carson Wentz did a nice job, and I think Dak Prescott's a fine quarterback. I mean, the Bears should kind of panic with all the guys we talked about early in the show that are out. I just think they find a way. This is one of those coaches games. We saw a couple last year where Fangio and Fox just – they keep it close against a Cowboys team that's kind of average. John, are you on that line with me?
Yeah, so I sort of had my hot take on Cutler earlier. I've got a bit of a hot take again. Are we sure Jeremy Langford is good? Mm. Or has he been given the chance to be good? Because this team was supposed to be a run-first team, and they have not been for the first 2 weeks.
So I did some stat searching because John Fox keeps talking about how they're behind, and that's why they've been kind of going to the pass. The Bears are tied for 28th in the league in rushes in the first half. However, if you combine the first halves of their two games, that's 60 minutes of football. They've only trailed for 8 minutes of those 60 minutes of football. Yet
so
they're tied for 28th in running the ball. I don't know. I think there's something to be said of seeing what you're able to do with Cutler and Jeffrey and wanting to go back to that. And I get that. It's worked. It worked on two different drives in Houston. It worked on one drive against Philadelphia. And then you fall behind, and then it's over. So this is a perfect time to run the ball. Dow Loggins kind of let us in on the fact that Jeremy Langford's the best pass protector they have. So he's going to be on the field the most until Jordan Howard gets there. But I imagine we'll see some more carries. Jordan Howard, especially if Kadeem Carey's not ready to go. He's got a bum hamstring coming out of Monday night's game. Jeremy Langford knows he's got to do a better job breaking tackles. But I still think the skill set is there for Langford to put it all together. I think we still got to give him a little bit of time. So, John, be a little patient with the former Spartan, will you?
Well, yeah, I'll be patient. I think that the Bears coaches have to give him more of a shot as well. And you just went over the stats that they have not been given – they end up in giving Jeremy Langford the opportunities that we all thought he would get, at least early on in first half. So
yeah, and that's
a good stat by you.
And that's what I mentioned earlier, too, more screens. I mean, I thought they were going to do it. They said they were going to work on the screen game. It's a perfect way to keep the pass rush back. I say you got to get that thing going with Langford. You know, it's worked with Eddie Royal. Eddie Royal's had a great two games. You know, if you look at, like, the top players for the Bears through two games, I'd say Eddie Royal, Alshon Jeffrey, Jarrell Freeman and Eddie Goldman. I think those four guys have played really well. I mentioned the cornerbacks have played above average. It's going to be Tracy Porter versus Dez Bryant. It's going to be a big matchup this week, of course. And, you know, I'm going to shine the spotlight on kind of one player to watch is Willie Young. I thought he played really well against Philadelphia after being a non-factor in the opener. And he's somebody that they're going to need to get after Dak Prescott. So, guys, before we go to our game picks, fall TV started this week. So, you know, on the show, we do like to talk about our television shows. I did watch the first episode of The Voice. That is my fall season guilty pleasure. And I think it's a little unfair this season, to be honest with you guys. And I'm going to tell you why. Because Alicia Keys is one of the judges, and everyone's picking Alicia Keys. And why wouldn't you?
Yeah, why would you pick Adam Lambert or whoever else is on that
it's
show.
Adam Levine.
Adam
Come on.
Levine, whatever. I don't watch The Voice.
Actually, this is how not dedicated I am to that show. I literally only watch the blind auditions, and I fast forward through all the like shots of the family and the friends and the build up. I just watch the song and the judges and then who they pick, and then I fast forward. So a 2-hour blind audition, I think I actually watched about 15 minutes of it before moving on to The Good Place, that new comedy with Kirsten Bell and Ted Danson.
How was that?
It was okay. I thought it was a little. I don't know if I love Ted Danson's character yet. Well, I'm going to give it some more chances, but it got off to a fine start, I think.
All right. Did you catch any of the Emmys?
I watched the opening part, the little bit with Kimmel. I was back and forth with Packers Vikings, so I missed most of it. But I did, as I tweeted at you, John, I did love Kate McKinnon because she's amazing. And to see her get an Emmy was pretty cool. But I don't know. Did I miss anything by not watching a lot of it?
Well, you're not a Mr. Robot fan, so you missed Rami Malek's outstanding speech and sort of inside joke with the show watchers of when he won. He said, "Tell me you're seeing this too." So if anyone watched, I watched the show. I thought that was hilarious. You don't, so it probably went right over your head. And my girl Tatiana Maslany for Orphan Black went finally winning Best Actress. For her show and the 400 different roles that she plays on that. So I was thrilled with the Emmys and how they
were really reaching out to wide audiences with this show.
I sure hope so.
Yeah. We're getting the TV viewers. We'll keep you updated on our TV watching habits, of course, next week. And we'll recap Bears Cowboys. So guys, it's that time of the show. Let's make our picks. As of recording, the Cowboys 7-point favorites at home against the hobbled Chicago Bears. Dan Mott, who you got?
I've been sitting this whole show thinking about this. I'm going to go with Bears. I'm going to be a homer. I'm going to go with Bears only because I feel like they got to turn it around. They're not going to want to go a second night in a consecutive week in primetime and lose. So I'm going to say Bears. Let's go Bears 21. Cowboys 14. I'm gonna say the Bears are the 7-point favorite here.
Oh wow! All right, John Solly, you are definitely not going with that score, but I like Dan's confidence.
Yeah, I like Dan's confidence too. I'm the other way. I think it's Dallas 24, Bears 13.
Okay, so you got Dallas covering. I got the Bears covering. As I said, I think they keep it close. I got Cowboys 23, Bears 17. Look, it's one of those things where, you know, goofy things will happen, and in the way that the Bears are coached, maybe they can do that. Maybe they can pull off the upset, but I just can't pick them right now because I know everyone that's hurt. And I know what the Cowboys can do on offense. Cowboys are at home, we'll see what the Bears have. But I got the Cowboys 23, Bears 17. That'll do it for this week's episode of PFW's Chicago Football Podcast. Thank yous, of course, to my producers, Dan Mott and John Solly, my TV show aficionados over there. And then Clarence Hill of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram joined us to talk Bears Cowboys. Go to lootcrate.com/Shaw. Use our promo code Shaw, S-H-A-W. And thank you to them for being our sponsor. Be sure to follow all of our Bears coverage, profootballweekly.com/Bears, Twitter @Bears_insider, and add us on Snapchat, Bears_insider. I will be at Bears Cowboys on Sunday night, giving you some Snapchats and some tweets from Bears Cowboys. We'll see if there are more happy things when it comes to the Bears to talk about on the show next week.